Welcome to Smart Mindset 360, the podcast where we help you level up in every part of your life. I'm Kyle Kohler, your host, and each episode is packed with tips on goal setting, business, health, and finance. We dive deep into the strategies that drive success and give you the tools to make real progress. Everything we discuss is about getting ahead, taking steps every day to push forward. If you're ready to push yourself, grow, and achieve your goals, you're in the right place. Let's shift your mindset and start making things happen. Welcome to another episode of Smart Mindset 360. We got Chase on again. Excited to have you, man. Today, we're going to talk about abundance versus scarcity mentality. So I think that's a big thing in not only the business world, but just in general. So, dude, we got to have you on as a regular. So
yeah, we'd love that.
We're rotating you in. You're great on the camera. And you just got a lot of great ideas and commentary, and you should probably eventually just run the show here, to be honest.
I don't know about that. Yeah, well, thanks for having me, dude. Like, really appreciate it. It's always fun to come on and get a little, you know, podcasting in.
Yeah, I mean, this theme today is the scarcity versus abundance mentality. I think that's been something for me that's changed my career. And there's pros and cons to that. And you got to understand what you're up against, because I have been burned on both occasions. I really have. Scarcity mentality has hurt me. Abundance mentality hurt me because I was playing checkers and not chess. But we'll just dive in. What's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on the abundance versus scarcity mentality?
Yeah, it's something that I think that anyone in business or any young entrepreneur, or maybe not even young entrepreneur, but you're going to face that dilemma at some point in your life. You're going to have to come and kind of face it and understand it and research it and look into it for yourself, because there's a lot of ways to look at your business, yourself, and you can take it in an abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset. And I think right now, like for real estate in general, with all of this commission talk and the NAR ruling, which we talked about last night, yep, that is a perfect thing we can talk about. And how, even in your world too, like the mortgages and the real estate world being down, how do you face that? How do you combat that? And it's all about your mindset. One thing we were just speaking about before we started was like the 6% commission. Right. So many agents are so married to 6%. And I think that while it sounds like an abundance thing, right, mm-hmm, it's actually a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Because you will not work for less than 6%. Dude, I'll take 5% all day. I'll take 4% all day. I just want to close deals and I want to help people.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's more of an abundance mindset, because I'm putting others above me and I just care about adding value.
Yeah.
If you're just going to sit here and do 3, 4, 5, 6 deals a year, or even 10 deals a year, at 6%, I'll do 25 at 4%, 2%. I don't even care. Sometimes I don't get paid. You know, it's happened to all of us, right?
Yeah.
I don't even get paid. But I just want to do deals. I just want to help people.
I love that. And you see it, especially on my side, when times get tough, that's the first thing they're going to look at. How can I make more commission? What can I do to get more about me to make my life easier? So I don't want to get out of my comfort zone and maybe have to scale more. I don't want to have to make more calls. I don't want to have to work harder. What can I keep doing right now and make more money? That's the first thought on a lot of people's minds, and they don't even think. And it's wild, because I see that so much with that scarcity mentality right there. They never scale. They're the same production they were 5 years ago, or even less. And they can do it. They can say, I've been doing this for 20 years. And then you look at their numbers and you're like, you've averaged one or two transactions. This is loan officers, by the way. Real estate agents, that's killer. Good job. But loan officers, one transaction a month, like, you can push yourself harder. You can do more. You really can. And so I see that. And when I see other people that don't think about just even commission in general, they just want to help people get more people, you know, through on their business and they just have this vision to help and they want to grow. Those people end up doing way more transactions. And then they do make more money and they're more successful. So I like that on the, you know, obviously with what's relevant today, boots on the ground, right, commission front. But for you, do you have any, you know, stories about kind of what you're seeing the abundance mentality has helped you in your business, in your company's business, or just anything in general?
Sure. Yeah. So I think, and I think every realtor probably goes through what I'm about to talk about for sure. Yeah. And if you first get your real estate license, you're excited. You start telling everybody, hey, I do real estate now. And everyone's like, oh, great. You know, another. And you start telling everybody about it and it's great and you're excited and you do a deal or two and you know, maybe your aunt lets you help you do the house or whatever, sell the house or Actually, you don't really start with listings. You always start helping buyers.
Yeah, it's true.
No one trusts your listing yet. But you go through, you start getting some transactions under your belt, you get some confidence, and then something happens. Somebody that you 100% in your mind thought was going to use you for real estate, whether it's buying or selling, uses someone else. And you immediately think, why? Why wouldn't you use me? Yeah. You know, I thought, like, you know, you're my cousin, you're my uncle, you're my aunt, you're my brother, whatever it is, you know, you're my...
You see me working hard.
Yeah. You know...
I'll take care of you. I got your back.
Yeah. This is my business. Why wouldn't you support me? You start questioning all these things, right? And early on, that was me. I was like, the hell, bro?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnny Manziel, like, what happened here?
Yeah.
You know, I've always supported you. Now you're not going to support me, type of thing. And that's a scarcity mindset. Totally. But it's because you're so new, right? And I started doing more and more volume. I started doing more and more business. And I started realizing once I stopped caring about, like, this sounds bad, but who the business came from, that's when it stopped mattering, right? So I care where the business comes from. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is if my best friend, whoever this person is, doesn't use me, they use another one of our friends that's an agent or something like that, I go, you know what? I'm happy for my friend that's an agent. They got the business because there's another deal out there for me. Or I have deals that fall through. I had a crazy day this year. I don't know if I told you about this.
Tell me.
I had a crazy day earlier this year. I lost $100,000 in one day in commission.
Wow.
There was two very large deals. They equaled about $3 million. They were both due to close on a Friday. And on Tuesday night, I found out they both fell through. And it was about $100,000.
It's life-changing money.
It is stung.
Yeah.
It stung deep, you know. And I let myself be mad for about an hour or two. I went for a little walk that night, you know. And I'm not saying this to gloat about, like, the money. What I'm saying is I was mad. And then I was mad that I got mad. And I was mad that I let those two deals make me get so mad about it. Because that was a scarcity mindset. I wanted to grab this money and hold on to it,
you
know, like the Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
You know, like,
my money.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. And in reality, it sucked. I let myself be upset about it, but it was like, okay, let's just go find the next deal. Yeah. And that's it. Really, that's like the mindset shift. I think Ivy Avenue, the brokerage I'm at, you know, we obviously both know Jason. He's awesome.
I'm going to get him on. I sent the link for him to join.
Come on, Jason.
Officially.
This is your invitation. he's done a great job of building a culture where we all just build each other up and we're all teammates. And I really think in any industry, I don't look at other agents as my competitors.
Yeah.
I really don't. When I see people do big deals, I'm excited for them. I'm excited for both people. I'm excited for the buyers and sellers because it's what I do. It's why I love what I do. You know what I mean? Would it be cool to sell the $65 million place in Park City that just went up? Of course, it'd be cool.
It'd be amazing.
You know, but like, I think, wow, what a cool opportunity for that listing agent. They got to do that. Like, how can I build my business to make it better? That's the difference, I think. And so as you kind of like mature in the business, maybe I would say, you stop worrying about why didn't this person use me? And you start thinking, how can I just build my business to make it better? How can I add more value so next time they definitely want to use me?
Yes.
That's the difference, I think, in the mindset shift.
Yeah, I think the mindset shift. And you're happier. You're just happier. I mean, I remember the first few years, I would just be, you know, if there was another lender, like competitor, hated them and just not necessarily hate, but I'm like, I'm not going to focus or even think about you. You're not even in existence to me, right?
Yeah.
But now I have so many friends that are from so many different companies and we share our wins and we help each other out with, you know, scenarios and talk to each other. And I'm happier. I'm just happier. It's great to see them win. What would you think someone listen here that has a really hard time with the scarcity mindset? Because, you know, a lot of times, when you're not getting deals and you're not producing, it gets scary, you know, hence scarcity, right? What would you say someone that may be struggling right now with the industry, with all the changes, and they're just having a hard time, how can they get out of that scarcity mindset? What are some steps that they can do to just get out of it?
Sure.
Loaded question.
Yeah, a lot of different ways to answer it. For me personally, and I think it's really kind of how I address, like, anytime I'm down in the dumps, like, about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately turn to, like, gratitude.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, I didn't get these two huge deals and make all this money. And I was like, well, but I still closed deals this year. Well, I still have stuff in the pipeline, you know, and maybe one of the deals we'll close next year or something like that. It's a commercial deal that we've been working on forever, you know. Anyways, and I think it's just turning to gratitude first. And once you can be grateful for what you have, it's a lot easier to start thinking like, okay, let's maybe move on from Debbie Downer over here.
Yeah.
And the scarcity and being scared and get over to gratitude and then back to adding value.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. I know it's kind of a basic answer, but in reality, for me, it's like, it works, you know. Find out what you're grateful for, put your head down, work a little harder, and you'll see.
Yeah. What's the Pixar movie that just comes out with all the emotions?
Inside Out?
Inside Out. It's like Inside Out, right? When anxiety takes over.
Yeah.
Anxiety kind of has a scarcity mindset.
Right.
About me, me, me. And a lot of times, it's not about you. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You got to, sometimes my biggest number one enemy is myself with that mindset. So when you change that mindset and you have the gratitude and the joy, right, you bring more of that other stuff in, that's where you really can change. And the mind shift there, I've seen when I have an abundance mentality, things just grow, grow, grow. When I have a scarcity mentality, things don't grow. They just, yeah, I can get things maybe short term a lot more than I thought. But on the long term, I see, oh man, I really wasted those few months having that mentality. And it really, for people listening, it's really hard when they have limited resources, right? So in our industry, for me, for example, like, it's hard for a loan officer to want to level up and get that loan officer assistant and maybe get that team or grow, or, you know, like what we did here. Like, we went from a few, you know, high producing, my life was great, you know, producing and doing loans. And then we build this team to help other people produce and become a leader. And you got to have abundance mentality with your time, with your knowledge. You also got to have abundance mentality with, you know, their goals and what they want. Like, a lot of times it's not just about you and your goals, it's about their goals. How can I get them and make them feel successful? But also, they leave. People leave.
Right.
People leave. You know, I used to say, like, no one's ever left me, and I felt so great about it. And then what happens? A lot of people left, you know? It's like, dang it, I just spoke it to existence of how cocky I was, right? But then a lot of people come as well. Because like you said, it's like, I'm going to have this abundance mentality that, you know what? I want you to crush it. And if you crush it and you want to go do your own thing, that's okay. And I think a lot of managers or, you know, small business owners, they really miss the boat there. They lose out on these amazing relationships because they're like, hey, I built you. I made your career, you know, from their end, they think, right? Because they trained you. And then they just never talk to you again after you leave. And it's sad. It's sad, you know? So I've learned that because I've been on the other end where I leave and they just never talk to me again. Just like, nope, you're done to me. You're dead to me. Like, how dare you type thing. But for me, I'm like, no, if I was a role for you to build your career and now you're crushing it and this is what you want to do, I want to help you. And then we're still friends. It's so much better, that abundance mentality. It's just, but it's, again, this probably another theme of this episode, is easier said than done.
For sure. Yeah. So for those that have limited resources, I've been that agent before. I guess you could maybe, I've always been a single agent, you know, so you could maybe even say I still fit in that box of like a limited resource agent. But I think it's all about just what you touched on, making it about others.
Yeah.
And so when you make it about other people and it's not about yourself, I guess it's kind of hard to put into words, but you're just changing the mind shift of your business.
Yeah.
It's the overarching thing that we've all had in this is like, I'm not going to care about commission. I'm not going to care about the money I make. I'm going to care about others. I'm going to add value. And it's kind of the longer term view in business anyways, right?
Yep.
And to touch on what you said, as a leader, true leadership is showing people the way, training them,
yep,
and then not controlling them.
Yes. That's a big
right?
one too.
And I think you can say that in like almost every relationship you're involved in, whether it's your kids, your spouse, yep, whatever it is, right? Like, it's not about control. It's about letting people do their thing. And if you're involved in that, your success becomes their success.
I think the biggest thing I've learned is don't let perfect get in the way of good. Because I was a perfectionist on things and I would get that in a way of people that, you know, that to help me scale did a good job. But then my perfectionism comes in and then, you know, the controlling comes in. And I think that piece right there is a really good point you have because, you know, people, no one's ever going to do it as good as you think, you know. How can I phrase this? You always think you can do better than the other person that's either replacing you in a specific job you used to do. That's just how naturally people are. And so when I finally got to that point where it's like, hey, look, they're doing a good job. Like I need, you know, if I want them to get to perfect, like that's on me. I got to be a better trainer. I got to do a better job of communicating. And that's one thing I suck at. I try to be a good communicator, but it's communication. I think if I were going back to school, if school was actually worth it, it's not. Just so you know, if you're listening here, I'm way against the university. The degrees are worthless these days, unless you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever. But like, I would get, you know, a real communication degree would be something that would be great, just because I need to be a better communicator if I want to relay this to, if I'm trying to scale. And another abundance mentality, like you said, is not controlling. Let them grow and build and, you know, improve, but don't be a micromanager. And it's hard. It's so much easier said than done.
Yeah. I think the principle is the same for yourself. Sometimes you have to let go of, you know, whether it's like bad habits in your business or caring that so-and-so used someone else and not you. Like it's about letting go and changing your mind shift and thinking, let's always think 5, 10, 15 months down the road.
Yes.
You know, years down the road.
And it's hard to get when our lives are so reactionary. We're firefighters, right? That's what we do every day. So sometimes it's really nice to take a step back, look, see where we're at, and evaluate it. And then, you know, like I say, play chess, not checkers, because I get stuck playing checkers way too much. I'm a brilliant checkers player. I just suck at chess, and I got to get better at chess.
Yeah, I think it reminded me of, I think it's Tony Robbins that says people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but they underestimate what they can do in 5.
Yep.
And I always try to remember that and I think an abundance mentality is kind of within that quote is, maybe I can't change my business today. Maybe I can't change my business in the next 12 months, but I can change myself and my life in the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And one thing, getting back to gratitude for a second, I always try and remember, like I think of where I'm at now and I go back and I think 5 years back and I would kill to be where I'm at now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would kill. And I'm not satisfied. And I think that's part of the journey, right? Is never really being satisfied, but also learning to enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yes.
And that ties in a little bit with your perfectionism and things like that. And that's kind of a lifelong lesson. That's not something you're going to learn in a month or something. But I just think always try and have a little bit more self-awareness on your situation. Don't be afraid to look back. Don't be afraid to look forward.
Yeah.
But stay in the now, you know.
Big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, you can get deep. You can talk about it with your kids and all that stuff, you know. But I think for the scarcity mindset, abundance mindset, it's just all about letting go of the things you can't control. Just control what you can and just care about others. If I wanted to like sum it up and make it super, super simple, care about others and let go of what you can't control.
I think they said there's like a statistic. I'm going to butcher this, but it was a high amount. Let's just say they said a high amount of the things you worry about don't even happen.
Yeah.
It don't even happen. The things that you worry about. I think it was like 90%, I think you said, but I'm not quite sure. Maybe it was 80%, whatever, but it was very high.
I mean,
and it's
going on a cruise in 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure I'm going to fall off the boat.
Like I'm getting lost.
Somebody sent me a TikTok of what would happen if you actually fell off a cruise ship.
Oh my gosh.
It's in my brain now. And it's, you know, I got the balcony one this time. Now I'm going to fall off the balcony. But yeah, is that going to happen? No. Have I worried about it for a couple nights in bed? Yeah, I've worried about it. No.
You're going to be like looking over, you know, not seeing the view, staying 10 feet over on the shuffleboard.
Yeah, it's an irrational fear. But we all have them, right? We all have anxieties to different levels and things like that. And I think it's just kind of about trying to let go of that. One way to do it is to get into gratitude and just be grateful for things you have.
With what do you do on the daily, like what daily habits do you create to credit, have this abundance mentality and this mindset, whether it be affirmations, just habits in general?
That's a great question. When I'm like really doing well, I would say like in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I'm not afraid to say that like my life ebbs and flows. We added a third kid last year, threw us into a tornado for a long time. You know, all of your routines get messed up, and you know,
tell us about that.
He was in the NICU for a while, and it was just, everything changes. I think adding a baby just changed everything, but he came early. There's all these different things that happened, you know? And I remember saying to my wife, he was in the NICU for 30 days at primaries, and we got back, and I just remember being like, I just want to get back to the way things were. And she's like, they're not ever going to be the way things were. And I kind of had to like swallow that and be like, she's right. Things are different now, and that's okay. So you have to adapt, right? So he's a year old. He just turned one, yeah. And I'm still figuring out like my new routine,
yeah,
to a certain degree. But what I will say is like when I'm doing really good, I do have a routine, first of all. And I think that's important. And I don't care what yours is. I don't care if you get up at 9 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 1 p.m. I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think you just got to do what works for you. But I think having some type of routine that you every day can like build on the previous day with good habits. So for me, it's like reaching out to people, making sure they know I'm there for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like your SOI, contacting them. I don't love doing this, but it does help, like journaling, gratitudes, things like that at night. And that's, I think what it is like planning your day out. At the end of the day, you look back and you go, okay, how did I do today? What could I do better on? And it's a grind to do that every day.
It is.
I think spending time on yourself
so hard.
And doing like, for me, it's like some type of physical exercise, working out, that helps my mental health tremendously.
Yeah.
And then spending time on yourself and your business, like reading some type of book, find ways to improve. Yeah, I've done coaching. I've done all these different things. However you do that, don't be afraid to spend time on yourself. But whatever these little things you do, just find time for them every single day. And whether it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, plan it out. Because everyone's days and lives are different, you know? School started back up a couple months ago. That changes everything again,
yep. You
know? Whatever it is, I think that routine, though, is perfect because, like you said, you're never going to have this perfect day, but you want to stack good days.
Yes.
You want to stack, you know, 70 and 80% days, maybe even 40% days, because they're all better than 0% days.
Yep.
And if you can get into these little teeny habits, you know, read the Atomic Habits book. It's great. Things like that.
Great book.
That's over time. Once again, like letting go in the now and looking over time, you're going to end up in a better place.
Yeah, I love that you said that. What I've been trying to do is I've been doing the tally mark on the whiteboard game for everything. Everything now. I'm like kind of obsessed because it's immediately, I feel good right when I do it. And I'm annoyed when there's nothing. Yeah. Immediate gratification there, right? Endorphins are just. So what I do when I work out in the morning is I have like, it's so I did this like, it's like called the 18 set challenge. And the goal is to hit 18 sets of each body part throughout the entire week. So it doesn't matter really the rep. Maybe one day I'm doing 3 sets of 6 reps or whatever. Maybe I'm doing 15. But the goal is to get every single tally mark for 18. Now, the easiest I found is three sets a day for each workout.
Right.
So, you know, I start from, you know, either the calves all the way up or, you know, deck down, right?
Yeah.
But I found that if I don't meet that, it frustrates me as far as like, I know I can do it. It's simple. I can do 3 sets of chest. Come on. Like I can do that. Every day I get to do a check mark if I did all of them. So I have my 6 check marks and then I have my big check mark at the end of the week. And so I love the check mark because it feels so good and I want to reach that. And I get annoyed if I don't reach that. And if one day I didn't do a good job, like this morning, I didn't get a workout. So tomorrow I know I'm gonna have to do 6. It's gonna be a tough workout, but I want to get that check mark at the end of the week. I really do. So I changed that not just to working out, but also 15 contacts a day. So every contact I reach out, and it doesn't have to be contacts. It could be family, anybody. It's just I'm getting myself out there.
Right.
If I'm stuck in some box, I'm getting out of the box, talking to people, and you know, I get my tally mark. I got to get my 15 checks, and then I have a mental check at this first of the day. This isn't a tally mark, it's just a check mark. It's like today I'm going to have a really good attitude about life. I'm going to be really good to my kids. And I'm going to have this energy that is better no matter how I'm feeling. Maybe I'm feeling kind of crappy, stressed. I want to get that check mark. So I promise myself a check mark in the morning that I'm going to do that. And at the end of the day, I have the circle on my whiteboard. Did I do this? And I'm now 2 weeks in. I've done it every day because I want that check mark.
Yeah.
So I think I have a mishap where I'm frustrated about something. And I'm like, I want that check. I want that. And so it's just simple. And then working out, I liked it where it doesn't really matter what the workout is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's flies, maybe it's push-ups. I just want that tally mark. So the fact that I don't have to think about it, so it's simple, it's attainable. Because before I was like, I'm going to do 45 contacts a day of people I'm going to talk to. You know how wild that goal was?
Yeah.
You know how many people the most I've probably ever talked to in a day? And that's crazy. I'm talking like proactive reach, probably 25.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking actual outreach, not just like cold calling, because people can get on a dialer and that's great. I get that.
Cold calling jobs.
Yeah. But this is more of like a really calculated proactive outreach. But I've noticed if you keep it simple and attainable, you really can repeat that, you know, and that's something that I think people can focus on for just mindset. How can I change my mindset? And that's just what I've been doing. And so far, so good. We'll see how it happens, but it's been fun to do.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's like Jordan B. Peterson or whatever, like 12.
I love his stuff. I could listen to him for hours.
Like, you know, the like make your bed.
Yeah.
Or there's a famous like graduation speech. I don't know who did it, but it's all about just. I think that thing is like get some wins, right? And it's just, well, it doesn't matter how small they are, and that's maybe somebody that's struggling right now.
Yeah,
find a way to get some wins, and it might be that day make your bed.
It might be, yeah.
You know, it might be talk to one person. That's all it is.
Walk that 1 mile.
Yeah,
you did that,
and that's something that I'm not afraid to say. We've all been at that point in our lives where you're like, I just need a sheet of that Jameis Winston.
I need to eat the W today. I like it.
That's going to be the thumbnail for this podcast.
I love it. Yes. Yes. You just have it. Perfect.
No, but you know what I mean?
I like that. I like that.
It. Sometimes you just need to get a win and it's got to be small. It doesn't matter, but, and then you can build upon it.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, last question I have for you is what's your thoughts on, and I think this is important though, but mentors for this specific thing. Have you had a mentor in your life that's helped you with your just mentality?
Sure.
Or anything really.
Yeah, I would say multiple. I think, so I did Tom Ferry coaching for a while and I had multiple coaches through that ecosystem. Yep. And that's a big, big part of it. And the reason I did Tom Ferry coaching was just to invest in myself. It was really when I started taking my real estate business seriously. And I just went to this big mindset shift of like, I'm going to do this for real, you know, not like on the side type thing. And so multiple coaches there. Jason Knight,
yeah,
he's always been my mentor. You know, he's a good buddy of ours. It's like technically family for me. I don't know. He's married to my cousin. So it's like, is he my cousin? I think. I don't know.
You're all cousins.
But yeah, I think looking at Jason, just to talk about him for a second, he has always done an amazing job of like being a very successful agent.
Yep.
That doesn't gloat about it.
Nope.
No one really, like he walks the walk more than he talks the talk. Because I'll tell you one thing in the real estate business, and I'm sure it's the same in the mortgage business, there's plenty of talkers.
Plenty.
And he just doesn't worry about that. He puts his head down and gets his work done, and he adds a ton of value. And he has people come to him, and he helps them out, because the best way to get business is referrals, right? Mm-hmm. Mouth of others,
yep.
Right? It's the best marketing system out there. And so for me, he's always, but when I meet with him and I talk with him, he's always like, I want to do more. I want to help more people. And he's always had the abundance mentality of, even when in the year's down, right? When rates suck, when they're 8%, I just want to help more people. I just want to find ways to help more people. And that's always the way he's done about it. And so I'll toot his horn for a sec.
Yeah.
He's been a great mentor for me in just having the mentality of, and I think for people, and it's just somebody to look at and be like, hey, Jason can do it. Why can't I do it? You know, and that's really it. Like, I think a mentor or just an example to look at. I think you guys are a great example. You mortgage. You guys took a big swing and a big, you took a big
risk,
leap of faith with this business and you made it work.
Get a mentor. It's super important. And if you're listening to this, I would say abundance mentality is definitely, there are steps that you can do that. So, you know, watch this episode, look up Google abundance versus scarcity mentality and, you know, try to improve.